And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Hello, and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeFore, here with Jared Weiss for your KD trade update.
Hey, yo.
Wow. Jared, apparently the Boston Celtics offered Jaylen Brown and a package of what I would assume are other players and picks for Kevin Durant, and I don't know, the world's going crazy with it, Jared.
Well, the world is crazy, Dave, so why not lean into it? This is a really interesting report because we have Shams coming out with something, and then also I think Woj said something right around the same time, but clearly the people, and there's one side involved in this deal that wanted it to be very clear what has been going on. And the thing that was so fascinating about this release or this reporting is that the package is way smaller than people would expect based on all the talk that was coming out originally when the Durant sweepstakes started. But it's not that surprising considering how the fallout has been, especially with DeAndre Ayton now off the table, making Phoenix a trade partner being incredibly unlikely. The market has shrunk really painfully for Brooklyn. And so I think that this offer coming out where Shams had it as, I think it was a package around Jaylen Brown with Derek White and like one draft pick or something like that. So it says, and a draft pick. Like, that is a far cry from the amount of draft picks that Brooklyn has been looking for. Brown plus White is, you know, not is pretty solid on the actual personnel front, but that's like, they wanted that with three picks, three swaps, that kind of thing. You know, basically something beyond what they got in the heart or gave up in the Harden deal. So I, the sense that I've been getting from everyone I've been talking to is that this trade offer is a little stale. Like, this is an older trade offer. You know, internally the Celtics are shooting down the notion that they made an actual offer. So there's always that kind of, you know, like, you know, internally you can have the plausible deniability of like, oh, I don't know if this was really an actual offer. Rather, this was just something that a framework that we discussed with heavy intent of making official if it were to be accepted. I don't really know. But like, you know, it's everyone's just trying to do damage control at this point. But the point is that just Brown plus White in a draft pick is way lower than what Brooklyn was looking for. Doesn't mean it's lower than what Brooklyn's actually going to get.
And you've got a piece up on The Athletic, which should be up by the time people are listening to this, where you kind of go through some of the details of the potential trade offer. But let's talk about the Jaylen Brown side of this, because we just watched this team from January on look like the best team in basketball, and they made it to the finals. It seems a little bit odd that this is a team that Boston would want to shake up. And I think you and I both agree, like, not really a real trade offer, right?
I mean, this was one of the hardest debates I've done over like whether a trade should be made in a long time. You know, Jay King and I, we did a roundtable back when when Durant first asked out. We're exploring it again this week of just like, why make the trade for Kevin Durant when you're giving up a young all-star? And the first thing you have to look at is how good do you think Kevin Durant is going to be? And during the regular season last year, I think everybody would probably agree he was still at an MVP level. Playoffs went very poorly. So how do you port that context from the playoffs into what you expect in the future? The context is the team was completely decimated and Kyrie got shut out of the series after game one. And, you know, game one was tight. And then, you know, Celtics pulled it out. They ended up sweeping. KD didn't really look good until like game four. He was pretty solid, but he kind of went like over the top to try to bear, you know, pull him out of it. I don't think KD could play at that level every single night for a full postseason run. And he still wasn't very efficient. So You know, Jaylen Brown had a really good playoff run, and he was playing hurt. You know, he had a bad hammy in the finals. He was playing through that. He played through it most of the time. And he still, you know, he still performed, I think, very well and pretty much up to the standard you would expect from what, you know, from like your kind of like second best player on a championship team. They were looking for Tatum to be the number one guy, and Tatum just lost the legs and couldn't be that for the whole finals and ended up getting killed in the end. So, you know, I don't know how much better KD would be than Jaylen Brown at this point right now, but I'm pretty sure it would be better enough that it probably makes you the favorite to win the title. The thing is, you're already the favorite to win the title. And is there a team, now that Phoenix seems to be out of the running, that could add Kevin Durant and still look like they're clearly the favorite over what Boston has on paper? Or, you know, Golden State or whoever else you want to put at the top there. You know, Golden State should still be a maybe the title favorite, but obviously Boston just took what they had and added to it. So it's like they added pretty significantly with Brogdon and Danilo Gallinari, which we'll get to in a second. But so the context with Boston is so good that it's like, do you really take the risk of taking on this older KD on this huge contract where you don't, you're worried about him staying healthy, while Brown hasn't had too many major injuries that have knocked him out long term, besides that wrist injury he had in the playoffs 2 years ago. But like, he generally has played through injury in the playoffs like most guys do and continued to perform very well.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Let's talk a little bit about Jaylen Brown's contract situation. He's eligible for an extension. He's not going to sign it. This guy is a max player, and he's waiting on that full max, the super max. And I think he's going to get it. And when you can lock a guy up like Jaylen Brown in his prime, it just doesn't make any sense to make a trade to me for an, you know, KD's 34, man. Like, this is an older guy. He's had the Achilles injury. He's, I'm not going to say injury prone at this point in his career, but certainly since coming back from the Achilles, that's been an issue for him where he's had to miss games due to soreness, due to other injuries. Locking up Jaylen Brown has to be a priority for Boston, right? I mean, they can't not move him and then not re-sign him to a supermax, right?
Yeah, I think he's proven to be good enough that he's worth that 30% of the cap at that point. Like, I think he's proven to be clearly worth that at this point. The fact that they got him for below the max initially, I was pretty surprised with that. And then as soon as the contract kicked in, you're like, holy crap, what a deal that he's on. Like, that's a huge steal. And it's funny. I've heard people talk about how like they underpaid him. So he's going to do whatever he can to get the max. I don't think he has to do anything to get the max. Like, he's there. He's good enough for it. He's going to get it from, you know, if the Celtics wouldn't give it to him, there's going to be several teams that would give it to him. So I think that's pretty guaranteed. So for him, you know, I think the big thing with Jaylen is that I remember there was a report that came out that he wanted out of Boston, and it came from a weird source. It was like a radio host in town that said it. And, you know, Boston radio hosts are always really fascinating with their reporting because, you know, like they have sources for sure. But I think the standard for reporting is usually not quite the same as you would expect from a beat writer. So I know the claim was like that he was overheard talking at a restaurant or something along those lines. Sources close to the player shot that one down pretty hard. He does not want to leave Boston. He is happy in Boston. And I know in the past, whether or not people wanted to stay in Boston was a bit of a contentious concern, obviously with Kyrie Irving being the most recent example. But I don't know if that's as much of a thing now. Kevin Durant, that's a thing. Like, with Kevin Durant, that's a thing because you don't know where he, like, is there anywhere that makes him happy? And that's one of the big concerns that you have when you're acquiring him as a team. And I think one of the main reasons why his value hasn't been as sky high as people expect is that, like, if he's leaving the situation in Brooklyn, you have to be really nervous about keeping him happy. And maybe taking him away from Kyrie will help stabilize that, but I don't really get that. I don't really get that feeling. And so between that and the age, there is risk involved. He's still good enough that you have probably a two-year window where he's still one of the top five players in the NBA, and that should put you over the top in most scenarios. I think that does with Boston. And if Boston can make it just a Jaylen Brown swap with another good point guard, and they have so many point guards now, now that they've made the Malcolm Brogdon trade, and it's just like one draft pick or something like that, that seems like a deal that you would offer that for Kevin Durant. Like, I understand that. If you're willing to part with Jaylen, obviously. If the price gets steeper, and you know, I heard from several sources now that this is the offer that got out there isn't even the highest offer Boston's put out there. I guess there was more bidding early on. Brooklyn sat on it, and then the price fell through the floor. And Brooklyn, it looks like they screwed up playing their hand on that one. You know, it's like, I don't think the offers are going to get any better, especially if Brooklyn has to wait this out to training camp. If they go to training camp with KD still on board, I don't really see the offers getting that much better.
How much of the expectation from Brooklyn's standpoint for these trade offers has been colored by the ridiculous Rudy Gobert package? And I say ridiculous because I don't think Minnesota overpaid for Rudy Gobert. Those picks don't have as much value. But when you see that many picks going for a player of Rudy's caliber, I'm sure if you're Brooklyn, you're sitting there thinking, wow, we should at least get that for KD. I wonder how much that is affecting this on Brooklyn's standpoint.
I think it's that, and it's also just looking around and seeing like what teams have that kind of package to offer. Like I remember the report, was it around Donovan Mitchell that came out where like the Knicks could offer like seven picks or something like that? And it's like, would you offer seven picks for anyone who isn't like an MVP in their prime? You know, KD's really testing that because he's still an MVP. He's just not in his prime anymore. But like, you know, Giannis and Jokic, I guess I would probably sell the farm on that one. But otherwise, it's that you're sacrificing yourself beyond your championship window. Like, you know, you're beyond your championship window. There's no reason to expect that KD past age 38 will still be a number one player on a contender, which is insane to say out loud because 38 is extremely old. But let's give him that runway. Like, that's pretty fair. I forget how old LeBron is now. Is he like 37, 38?
Yeah,
now?
But let's relax with 38 being extremely old. That's not extremely, it may be for basketball, but not for life. Is it safe to say that the Celtics are not standing pat this offseason, that they're going to continue to look for ways to improve, at least on the margins? I mean, you know, you mentioned the Brogdon trade. There are guys out there. I mean, another guy in Indiana, like Miles Turner. I mean, I know that for years they talked about him. I don't think they're going to bring him in because they have Rob Williams. But it does allow some very varying scenarios to play out if they do want to make a KD trade where they could pull in other pieces and other teams. I mean, January 15th is the date that these guys that signed extensions and all the free agents will be able to be traded. So I'm thinking like trade deadline, if something was going to happen with Jaylen Brown, it'd be closer to that point. You agree with me there?
Yeah, I don't see a reason for them to move Jaylen Brown unless it's to get like a top tier superstar. You know, and Jaylen Brown still has enough runway in his trajectory that he could get pretty close to that. You know, I'm not going to give him KD levels. Like, I'm not going to give anybody in the NBA KD levels. But you know, Jaylen's still only 26, I think. Like, he's still got a little bit more runway to go. He improved as a finisher pretty significantly last year, and is one of the best finishers in the game last year. So, you know, Jaylen could still get better. And you know, it's like they brought in Malcolm Brogdon, they brought in Derek White 6 months earlier, however many months earlier. Maybe five, I guess. So like, they have loaded up their point guard rotation with all these guys who are not quite Chris Paul types, but they're all really good ball movers. And so they could sacrifice one of those to make a big upgrade somewhere else. But like, they also could just play the depth game like they have been doing. Their depth is really good now, eight deep. Like, eight deep is insane. After that, not quite. And I don't think they need more than that. They just need a competent backup center. And Luke Kornet, they've talked, you know, Brad Stevens has talked him up, credit to him, but they didn't really play Luke Kornet in spots where they really needed someone to contribute at the five last year, so I just don't expect them to do that again this year. They just signed Fondue Kabengele to a two-way deal, and I really liked what he did in Summer League, but really like what he did in Summer League is not usually a that's not going to translate.
If that
into,
guy's playing, if he's playing in June, you got big problems. Now, I guess if you're playing in June, your problems aren't as big as some other teams.
Yeah, and so we know that their play so far has been, we just saw our guys burn out halfway through the finals. They barely made it to the finals, let alone health-wise. And we know that Rob Williams, he needs even more of a break next season. Al Horford, they're going to scale back pretty significantly with him. And then Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they're going to have to scale back with those guys as well. So they need the depth this year. And I think I like the recipe they have right now. They don't have to make a move unless it's just you have the golden opportunity to get Kevin Durant. That's the only thing I think that really prompts you to make this move. I don't see them going for Donovan Mitchell unless they can get some sort of cut rate deal where they keep both of the Jays and they bring Mitchell in. Do they even need Donovan Mitchell in that scenario? Maybe not. Yeah, maybe they're better off with the scenario they have now. I don't know, because Malcolm Brogdon's pretty good if he's healthy, which is an if. This is the only deal really that could exist in the league where it makes sense for the Celtics to get involved at this point beyond just like making a tiny move to get a backup center.
Yeah, and there you have it. Jared Weiss saying that there is not going to be a Jaylen Brown for KD trade. I mean, it's too unrealistic. I just don't see it happening. I tend to agree with you that this team is already pretty damn good. So I wonder if, like you said, playing the depth and defense game got them to the finals and now they got deeper.
But I should clarify, it is very possible this deal happens. It's possible. I'm not saying I'm seeing it happening. I'm saying it is certainly they have the most competitive offer and that they have the best player to offer out there. Besides, Brandon Ingram maybe, Bam Adebayo maybe, but also like they have to move Ben Simmons in that deal.
Right, the Bam trade is too complicated.
Yeah, at this point of the free agency market, it doesn't seem like moving Ben Simmons is tenable. So, and I don't think Minnesota's in that sweepstakes anymore, obviously. So, like, that was the one place that it could have happened. So, maybe Philly wants to do some takesy-backsies. I don't think so. So, it seems like Miami finding a way to make a deal happen is really unlikely, because Tyler Hero does not have significant value around the league, especially because he's about to get his extension. It's going to be a pretty big one. I don't think he's going to get the max, but it's going to be a pretty big extension.
Yeah. Well, that's going to do it for today's show, folks. Thank you, Jared, for not only hosting so many dings, but giving us an update on the Jaylen Brown trade potential. We're going to be back later on in the week with Jovan Buha and Jared talking about potential Russell Westbrook trades. It's trade season all summer here on the Athletic NBA Show. Thanks for listening to the Daily Ding.
Ding, ding.